The theme of the first four shiurim and now the fifth is to understand Mashiach. That we look at the Mashiach as something of a sort of a prize at the end of creation, or something that's going to ultimately happen that we don't really understand. We just know that we want it. And what needs to be clarified over and over and over again is that Mashiach, the world of Geula, is there's been so many false Mashiachs through the generations, and so many misunderstandings of Mashiach and whole religions that have come about based on we've got the Messiah, that it's very confusing, and in all honesty, like, you can lose a little bit of a chesed for it, you know, because what's it going to be already? But what we need to understand, that it's Mashiach, the time of Mashiach is the world the way it should be. It's the way the world was meant to be from the beginning of creation. And if it wasn't for the chet of Adam Harishon, that would have been it. That would have been the way the world is. There wouldn't have been death. Adam Harishon brought death into the world. So you don't need Tchias HaNesim. Tchias HaNesim is only after people die. You don't need Tchias HaNesim if nobody dies. There would be no wars. There would be no Yetzer Hara as we know about it, which means that there would be no people hurting each other. All of those things came because Adam Harishon integrated this evil, this Yetzer Hara, into him. We spoke about that. I don't want to talk about it now, but what I do want to say is that what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks is that the world has to be misaking the chet of Adam Harishon. That's what has to happen. What has to happen is that Adam Harishon, the chet Hashem gave, as we learned, Cain and Hevel the chance to fix things. He gave Noah the chance to fix things. He gave the world 2,000 years to fix things, because we know 2,000 years are the years of Tohu Vavohu, exactly what the Gemara says. The first 2,000 years is to fix things. None of them fixed it until it came to Avram Avinu. Now, Avram Avinu is the hero of history because Avram Avinu, exactly in the year 2000, exactly when he was supposed to, at the deadline, started the tikkun, which we are heirs to. We're part of that tikkun. Started the tikkun of the world, which can make the world what it is meant to be, and hence a matzav of gula. Does everybody understand this? This is the concept that we're working with. It's very important that we understand it. And we spent a lot of time of last week talking about Lot. Anybody remembers Lot? What was the importance of Lot? What was the importance of that war that Avraham Avinu had with the four kings? So if you open the Chumash to Perek Tesvav, Rashi's Perek Tesvav, Parshas Lech Lecha Hamishi. And the Torah begins to say the following. Achar Hadvarim Ho'ele. It was after these things. Hayadvar Hashem El Avram B'machazel Lemor. Hashem came to Avram in a vision. And he said to him, Al Tira Avram Anoichi Mogen Lach, Avram, don't be afraid, I will protect you. Secharcha Harbe Me'od, you will have much reward.
Did you say Tesva?
I said Tesva.
What
Perek Tesva?
Oh, sorry.
Acher Hadvarim Ha'ela, Avram Avinu was obviously afraid of something. And Hashem told him, don't be afraid. What was he afraid of? It was that he was afraid. Al tira Avram anoichi magen lach. Don't be afraid, Avram. I will take care of you. Scharcha harbe ma'od. You will have much reward. Achar hadvarim ha'ela. After these things. After which things? So exactly after what we learned last week. After this magnificent war between Avram Avinu and the world powers of the East, the Babylonians, the Iranians, I showed you a map last week of all the different superpowers of the world that came to conquer not just Eretz Yisrael, but particularly Sodom, and not just Sodom, but particularly Lot. That's who they were. We want the nefesh. The nefesh, we learned, was Lot. So the whole war was all about Lot, we learned last week, and this was an unbelievable war where Avraham Avinu, with 318 yeshiva bachurim, chanichav, with his chanichim, took these four superpowers that killed the whole coast of Israel, all the Canaanite nations, all the way down Fish Tishim, Mizracha, all the way down the Rephaim and the Zuzim and the Yamim and all the different cities, the biblical cities that are there on the east side of which are today Jordan. The superpowers came and just mowed them down till they came to Sodom, and then they mowed down Sodom and the four kings of Sodom. They kidnapped Lot. Avraham Avinu then pushed them up the Dead Sea towards Ein Gedi, pushed them up to the Golan ad Damascus. So says the Chumash. They made this round of Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu almost single-handedly defeated them all. At the end, they said he had all of this. He was crowned as the king of Israel. Rashi says he came to Kiryas HaMelech. Says in the Torah, he came to Kiryas HaMelech, who Yerushalayim, and there Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem made him the king. They made him for a katzin. They made him for a nasi. Nasi Elokim Atavis Achenu. And so everywhere he walked, Avraham Avinu, after this magnificent war, he was a hero. Unbelievable thing that the people like it was like one man was able to drive away the American army, the Russian army, the Chinese army, and everybody all at once. Pushed them all out. That's what we learned last week. Acher hadvarim ha'ela. And it was after these things where Hashem says to him, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid. So what was he afraid of? At this point, he had nothing to be afraid of. He was a warrior. He had obviously Hashem's strength behind him. He had already conquered most of Eretz Yisrael single-handedly. What was he afraid of? So Rashi says, Anochi magen lach. Do you see this, Rashi? Perek tesvav pasuk aleph. I will protect you. What was he afraid of? Anochi magen lach min ha'onesh. I will make sure you don't get punished, Hashem said. Why should he get punished? Avraham Avinu, what did he do? Shaloi te'ane shal kol oisan nefashe shaharakta. That you shouldn't be punished for all of those people that you killed. Do you understand? Like, in other words, Avraham Avinu was a big hero. But when he came back from war, he was shaking with fear. Because he had never killed anybody before. Like most of us in the room. How can you feel... After you kill, he must have killed thousands and thousands of people in order to drive, to have a war with these superpowers and to drive them all the way out to Syria until Damascus. He killed thousands of people. Okay, he did it. Why did he do it? He did it to save his nephew Lot. Then he gives Lot back, mysteriously. We spoke about that last week. He gives Lot back. Take him. I don't want your money. I don't want Lot. I don't want anything. And he comes back, he's sitting in Yerushalayim. Acher hadvarim ha'ele, and it was after this great war that Hashem says to him, Al tira, don't be afraid that you did something wrong by killing these thousands of people. Anochi magen lach, I will protect you from any type of punishment. The only thing that he was worried about was that I killed people. Lo na'im. And then Hashem said to him, Al tira Avram, anoichi magen lach, schorch arbe miyot. Vayomer Avram. So Avram, he appears to Avraham, and he says, I'll take care of you. Avram goes back to Hashem, and he says, Hashem elikim, ma titen li, you say you're going to give me schar. You're going to reward me. Ma titen li, what are you going to give me already? What can you give me? Va anoichi hoylech ariri, I am childless. Anochi halecha, what can you give me? I mean, the easiest way to understand this is, what are you going to give me? So, how old was Avraham Avinu at this point? 90-something. 90-something? So, 96, I think. So, thank you. What are you going to give me? A trip around the world? What are you going to give me? A new car? What kind of a schar can you give me if anochi halecha riri, if I don't have anyone to give that over to? More so than that. It's more than that. The deeper part of it is that Avraham Avinu was expecting that he's going to do the tikkun of the world. How is he going to do the tikkun of the world? Noach couldn't do it. Avraham Avinu is supposed to do it. Here he is. He's all set up. He's got the country. He's got everything he needs. He's got a tremendous amount of power. He's got the respect of everybody. He's rich. Melchizedek, everybody gave them mice. We know someone mice. We call. He's got everything. But I'm childless. So what, where's this going to go? Where's it going to go? That was his question to Hashem. Hashem says, "I'll take care of you. I'll give you scar. Where? How? Noichi Hoylech Hariri." Uven Meshek Basi, and he says to Hashem, and maybe you're thinking about my CEO in the house, about the Menahel Meshek, right? About Meshek Basi, the one who's taking care of everything in my house, which is who? Eliezer. Who Damesek Eliezer? Eliezer famously was the Eved of Avram. Everybody knows, right? What's he famous for? Let's just review. What did he do famously? Found a shidduch for Yitzchak. What else did he do? I don't hear.
Came to the Akedah.
Who came to the Akedah altogether? Avram came. Yishmael, Eliezer, Yitzchak. Four men. Four men came. Eliezer, Yishmael. Interesting. Eliezer was there. This war that just took place, so who Damesek Eliezer, according to some, he took over Damascus, according to some, he got him from Damascus, but the simple shot in the Gemara is that he ran the war. As a matter of fact, the 318 men, this is the words of the Gemara, that says Avraham Avinu gathered 318 men, so the Gemara says, who are these 318 chanichav of Avraham Avinu? So they really only had one, Eliezer. Because Eliezer, as the Gemara says, is the same gematria of 318. So it just took Eliezer. So Eliezer ran this whole campaign, this whole war. One man. So Eliezer. Just interesting, the only place his name is mentioned in the whole Tanakh is right here in this pasuk. He's all over the place. We have this whole long story about the shidduch, the back and forth. It's called Eved Avram. Not called by his name. Always Eved Avram. He's not... But we know it was Eliezer. Chazal tells us it's Eliezer, otherwise we wouldn't know. It could have been another Eved, but we know it's Eliezer. Damesek Eliezer. So why does he bring him in here? Like, that you might think, Hashem is talking to Hashem. You might think, okay, so you don't have a kid. But you have Eliezer, your faithful servant Eliezer. He'll take over. So Avraham Avinu says, I'm not happy with that. Vayomer Avraham. I don't have any children which are mine. So what's going to happen automatically is that the line that I have created, what's the line that he created? Tikkun Olam, Eretz Yisrael, Jews, the whole thing, it's all going to go to Eliezer. Everything that we did, this whole war that we did, the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, the brachos of Eretz Yisrael, the brachos of my family, it's all going to go to Eliezer. Avraham Avinu was, he didn't just say, I don't have children. This is what's important here. He didn't say, I don't have children. That wasn't the point. The point, it's going to go to Eliezer. Lo tov. It should go to Eliezer. He was worried about it going to Eliezer. Why? What was the... Why would Hashem give us to Eliezer anyway? What was the thought over here? What was Avraham Avinu? What was Hashem thinking? V'hinei dvar Hashem. We're in pasuk dalet. V'hinei dvar Hashem elav leimor. So Hashem speaks to Avraham Avinu and he says, "Lo yirosh chazen. No worry, it's not going to be Eliezer. Ki im asher yetze mi meyecha. It's going to be somebody that you have actually biologically given birth to." He's going to be the one that will be yorish. It'll be your own child. Okay, it's kind of tough at 90s, you know, 90 something. Sarah was 83, I believe, at this time. Okay, whatever you say, Hashem.
How long did this take place before the king?
I'm sorry.
How long does this go
on? We don't know. A year. I mean, probably a year, Rashi says.
Where was Sarah? Was at home this whole time?
The whole time. We don't hear from her. She's sitting in Hebron. In Elone Mamre. That's a very common problem. And then Vayotze Yosef. Can somebody do me a big favor? Yeah, maybe just ask him to close the door. Do you mind? This is my recuse is very delicate. Thank you. I'm sorry. And then the Torah says, "Vayotze Yosef Achutza." Hashem took him outside. Vayomer Habetna Shemayim. Go outside. Take a look at the Shemayim. Well-known Pesukim was Svarak Echavim. Try to count. Go outside. He was in his tent. Go outside. Count the stars. He took all these for Hashem. If you could even try to count them, try to count them. You can't. Vayomer Lo, and Hashem said to him, Ko Yezarecho. So will be your children. So there was a promise here of children. Behemin Bashem Vayech Shevel Lo Yitzadavim. And this is, by the way, also the, not just the first time Eliezer is mentioned, the first time the whole concept of Emunna is mentioned. Behemin Bashem, he believed Hashem when he said this. This doesn't seem like such a big kiddush for Avraham Avinu. Er Emunna Hashem. V'yachshevel lo tzedakah, and Hashem gave him credit for this. And then he said, V'yoymer elov ani Hashem. Hashem spoke further, and he said, Ani Hashem asher tzitzicha meyur kastim. I'm with you this whole time. Lech lecha. Losei slacha. The purpose of this whole journey is losei slacha. So aretz hazois the rishta is to give you this land. So first he promised him children, and now he's telling him, "I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael." Vayomer ana this. Vayomer Avraham Avinu said, "Hashem lekim bama eda ki irashena." How do I know this? Give me a proof. Give me a sign. That's interesting. When it came to the children, okay. V'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah. I believe you. And that was considered good. You had good credit for that. When it came to the land, I don't know. How can I possibly know that this is true? And then comes the psukim of the whole bris ben Absarim, which maybe we'll go into next week. Hashem shows him how it's going to be. Fascinating piece of the Torah, but very ununderstood. But I want to focus on something else right now. Because of this Bama Eidah, let's just say this. Suffice it to say, because he questioned Hashem, there was a punishment, not to Avraham Avinu, but to us. For 400 years, it says in the Chumash, you're going to have to go down to Mitzrayim. Not only that, the Gemara learns that all of these different things that he saw and that he did was the Babylonian Empire and the Greek Empire and the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. This was his Mara. It all came from Bama Eda. How do I know? Avraham Avinu brought Golos into this world. So here he was saying, I'm afraid. Hashem says, don't be afraid. I'll give you children. And I'll give you Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? Why did he question the land more than he questioned the children? How do I know? How do you know? You just made big tzaris for the Jewish people. Interesting. Okay, so what I really want to know right now is a couple of things. Number one is, what is this whole conversation about between Hashem and Avram? I can show you that there was three times already that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I'm going to give you children and I'm going to give you the land. This was not like a unique conversation. Over and over and over again, if you took a look, I wrote down the sources here. If you look at the very beginning of Lech Lecha, first of all, Parak Yud Beis. Vayomer Hashem l'Avram, Lech lecha me'aretz lecha me'la'at lecha me'beis avicha, ve'ez chala goy gadol, ba'avar echecha, ba'agad lo shmecha, ve'yei bracha. He tells him very, very clearly that you're going to have children. If you go a little bit further, Pasuk Zayin, Vayera Hashem l'Avram, Vayomer l'zaracho etenes so ha'aretz hazois. Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Lazaracha, to your children will I give this land. Vayivin Shemiz Beach Lashem. After Lot, go another few psukim further. After Lot separated from Avraham Avinu, he parried Namayelai. So the Rashi tells us it was at that moment that he was able to have Gilui Shechina, And Hashem was able to speak with him. So what did he tell him? He told him exactly. He told, if you please go to Parak Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalad. Vashem Amar al Avram. Hashem spoke to Avram. Acharei he pared Loit me'imai, after Loit left him and went to the Kikar HaYarden. Sono einecha, he told Avram Avinu, pick up your eyes. Urei, and look, min ha'mokim asher atasham, from the place you're standing, you could see Safona, v'negba, v'kena, kedma, v'yama, you'll be able to see the whole Eretz Yisrael. Kies kol ha'aretz asher ataroya l'cho edana l'zaracho adoylam, because I will give you this land, everything you can see, to you and to your children. So three times he told them, you're going to have children, and you're going to have a land to put your children in. It's going to be an Eretz Yisrael. And here, Hashem tells it to him again. This is the fourth time. Behemin Bashem. And he believed in Hashem that he's going to have children. He believed it before too. What was the chiddush here? Before he said, just look at it with some scholarship here. Let's compare. Before in chapter Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tezayin, he said to him, I'm going to give you the whole land and I'm going to give it to your children. V'samti esaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. And I will make your children like the earth, like the dust of the earth. Asherim yuchalish limnois esafar ha'aretz. Can anybody count the afar ha'aretz? Gam zaracha yimona. That same person can count the Jews. That's how many children you're going to have. So almost the same idea. Another place he told them, you're going to have children kechol hayam, like the sand on the ocean. It's a little bit different than the Afar Arts. Here he tells them it's going to be Kekoch Ve'Eshemayim. So we found three uncountable phenomena. Like we have the sand, the dust, the stars. Same thing, and same idea. So what was the Chiddush here that Avram Avinu heard from Hashem, and he said, but okay, I believe you. I'm with you on the kids. I just can't get my mind around the land, but I'm going to get the land. He promised them kids. He promised them land. What was the chiddush? What was the chiddush? Yeah.
Well, the thing is that he has just conquered the land. The land is one thing he should have been more sure of than the child.
Yeah, and on this he says b'ma'eda. He already had the land. It's an amazing. So here's the two things we want to know. What was the additional promise here, and what was this obsession with Eliezer? That's really what I want to focus on. Last week we talked about Lot. Let's speak about Eliezer. Two unknown people. Who was Eliezer? Who was he? Eliezer Eved Avram. Eliezer, the Gemara tells us, figures out that Eliezer, anybody know who was his father? Nimrod. A very humble woman, to say everything under your breath. I can't even see who's saying it. But somebody here knew that it was Nimrod. Nimrod was the... This is so interesting because Avram Avinu was thrown into a furnace by Nimrod. And then Nimrod was the one who led the war. Remember, he was called Amraphel. He changed his name, Rashi says, for the purpose of war. He was General Amraphel. It was King Nimrod. Amraphel. Amraphel means, as Rashi, Omar Toil. He told Avram Avinu, go into the fire. And now he comes to Eretz Yisrael to be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael, because Nimrod, the Gemara says, was Malach Bekipa. He was the king of the world. There was no stronger leader than Nimrod. He comes to and who keeps him out of Eretz Yisrael? Avram Avinu. This is, by the way, not so strange to us, because we who lived through the 48 war, not that I was there, but we read enough about the 48 war, the 67 war, I was there. You know, we see that we have this koach of kivsa achas ben shivim zevim. We see that we have this koach to keep the whole world. How many gazillion Arabs are there out there that are out to get us? Baruch Hashem, we have this. This comes from Avram Avinu. So this is not such a kasha that Avram Avinu was able to pull everything, push everybody away. But what's interesting about it is that who was he fighting with? He was fighting with Nimrod. And who was the main person who was fighting with Nimrod? Eliezer, Eved Avram. Eliezer is the 318, which is why the Torah calls him the 318. So either he was one of the 318, or according to Rashi Lakish, he was the 318. Eliezer Gematria, 318. The Torah says before, 318 Chanechim went with him. So first of all, he was such a close Talmud of Avram Avinu, but this was a war between a father and a son that was motivated by Avram Avinu. So this was almost Avram Avinu's revenge, if you will, on Nimrod, pushing Nimrod out of Eretz Yisrael. Look, you want to run the world? You threw me out of Bavel, I'm throwing you out of Eretz Yisrael. You're not coming into Eretz Yisrael. So it's amazing to picture. So when we think about who Eliezer, this man, starts to get some character here. And he was no Eved. If he was the son of Nimrod, he was no Eved. He was a very chashuv person. he was a Weltsmensch. He wasn't a Eved. You think about an Eved, you're thinking about some guy with a thing around his neck or a ball around his foot, and he's walking around with Avraham Avinu bringing him coffee and tea. That's not what was going on. Eliezer Eved Avram was Eliezer ben Nimrod. Some say, according to the Gemara, that he was the second Og Melech HaBashan. And the pshat is that the reason why Og Melech HaBashan appears everywhere, just parenthetically, is because just like there were Paros in Mitzrayim, there was Ogs in Bashan. The king of Bashan was always called Og. So Og Melech HaBashan is everywhere for generations, not because he lived a thousand years, because they were all called Og. They were all called Og. So just a little piece of information, trivia, Bible trivia, Og Melech HaBashan. Some say he was an Og Melech HaBashan, like he was a pharaoh. But he was so taken, apparently, with Avram Avinu that he became his Eved. I'll work for you. That's what it means. I will work for you. In other words, politically, he joined the Avram Avinu campaign and crusade, if you will, to take over Eretz Yisrael. And to start a monotheistic religion, and most important, to do the tikkun. I'm with you on this. Avraham Avinu said this, Eliezer. I'm with you on that. The world has to come to a place of where it was supposed to be, and it was before Adam HaRishon did his chet. Let's get it back to where it's going. I'm with you on this. I'll fight my father. And if you look, by the way, here at the Targum Yonasan ben Azil, it says right here on the spot that it was Ben Amrophel or Ben Nimrod. So it comes up another interesting point. Let's take it a little bit deeper. So let's push it a little bit more. Eliezer was the son of Nimrod, and Nimrod, let's say if you go all the way back, you have Noah came out of the Teva. He had three sons, which were Shem and Ham and Yafes. Avraham Avinu's great-grandfather was who? Shem. Right. So when he went to Melchizedek Melech Sholem, and Rashi says, Zu Shem ben Noach, so that means it was his grandfather. In other words, he was a descendant of the Shem.
Sorry, who was? I lost track.
Avraham Avinu. He was a Semite. Shemite. Where did Nimrod come from? So where did he come from? So he was from Ham. So Nimrod, if you remember when we were learning Noach together, so it says that the three sons came out of the Teva, Shem and Ham. What does it say about Ham? It gives him a title. Dr. Ham, what was his name? Ham. Avikna. Avikna. He was called the Avikna. Who was Canaan? We learned a lot about Canaan. Chom Avi Canaan. Canaan wasn't even born yet, but Noah cursed him. Arur Canaan. He cursed Canaan. Who was Canaan? Nimrod. Nimrod was the first Canaan. I'm not just saying a medrash. If you look at the way the generations line up, just follow the genealogy of it, you'll see that Nimrod was a direct descendant of Canaan, who was, of course, the son of Chom, who was the son of Noach. So there was another line from Noach going on with Nimrod. Comes out Eliezer and Avram Avinu were first cousins six times removed. Imesh Devar Kazeh. And he was his In other words, his great-great-grandfather was Shem, and his great-great-grandfather was Canaan and Cham, Cham Abi Canaan, and they were brothers. So here you have Avram having the Shem line and Eliezer having the Cham line, or let's put it this way, that Avram Avinu had the Baruch line because he got a bracha from Noach. Shem got a bracha from Noach. And on the other hand, Canaan was Arur Canaan. So Eliezer Abed Avram was Arur to skip. I'm sorry to skip back and forth in the Chumash, but you'll we're going to learn in a minute. Just want to bring this out now while it's here, that Eliezer Abed Avram had a thought that maybe my daughter can marry Yitzchak. Remember this, right? And what did Avram Avinu say? Sorry, it's not going to happen. Why not? Ein Arur Medabek Bebaruch. You're an Arur and I'm a Baruch. Why is he an Arur, the poor guy? He gave up his life for Avram Avinu. He was a tzaddik, by the way. Eliezer was a tzaddik. Clearly a tzaddik. And Avram Avinu trusted him with everything. He trusted him with to lead his wars, to take him to the Akedah, to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. The whole progeny of the Jewish people is in the hands of this Eliezer. Is it not just, you can't make a shidduch with you because ein arur medabek bebaruch. You're an arur. Why is he an arur? He's an arur because Noach cursed him. Noach cursed him and he said arur Canaan. That's why he's an arur.
What is arur?
Cursed. He was an arur, but ein arur and somebody who's cursed. Medavik doesn't marry somebody who's baruch. Like it's a difficult chazal to understand with, but just a little insight into it is that he was talking history here. Obviously, Avram Avinu was speaking to him history. You're not an appropriate shidduch. You're from Chum. You're from Canaan. You're not an appropriate shidduch. I'm from Shem. We can't get married. Intermarriage. It can't work. Why can't it work? What would happen already? Was well given. The answer is that Avram Avinu understood that a tikkun has to take place here. And the tikkun has to be not through Canaan, because Noach said we could have had a tikkun when we came out of this teva. But Cham Avi Canaan, did an Avera of Giloy Arayis. And since he did an Avera of Giloy Arayis, you're holding back the Mashiach. You're holding back the tikkun. We could have had it. This was just, the world was empty. We could have started fresh, a fresh canvas. Everything would have been okay. And immediately we came out of the teva and you messed up. So Arur Canaan. So comes Avram Avinu and my job, later on, I'm talking later on in the Torah, my job, Yitzchak's job, my son Yitzchak's job, is to help bring this tikkun on. How can I bring a child of Canaan into this? It's going to mess up the whole tikkun of the world. That's the pshat. Ein arur medabek bebaruch.
But did he also say that at the end, and if you don't find someone, then yes?
No. No. Eliezer said. Eliezer. Maybe if I don't find somebody, yes, we're going to learn in a second. Yes.
Why can't that be a tikkun? Why can't Dafka now having the hour connected to the blessing. I thought that would be tikkun olam.
Okay, so that's exactly what we're going to talk about here. How does this tikkun have to happen?
Also, because you said it like the last time also, it sort of like comes from, it doesn't sound
from
like
the Ra.
Yeah. So it would sound like a bimatim.
So here's the, everybody hear the question on the floor? That's what we're supposed to do. You know, I think it was Shimon Peres. Was it Shimon Peres at Oslo who said, how can you make peace with Arafat? So he said, well, am I supposed to make peace with my friends? So you're supposed to make peace with your enemies. If Canaan is... Boy, I never thought I'd quote him. The shir about Avram Avinu.
He's getting close to the 90s.
Good march is a good march, right? If Avram Avinu has to make a tikkun, who are you going to be masakin if not the arur, not the one that messed up? That's where your tikkun is. Especially this one is a tzaddik. But so let's think about it together. Eliezer here is very important, because the question, I believe, in Avraham Avinu's mind, just work with me on this, the question of Avraham Avinu's mind is, what does Hashem have in mind when he says, I'm going to be, it's going to come from me, the Tikkun Olam, my children, Eretz Yisrael, it's going to come from me. Does he mean it's going to come from me like mamish? Mimeyecha yiparedu? It's going to come from your kishkas? It's going to come from you biologically? Or does he mean it's going to come from me philosophically? It's going to come from me from the point of view that this is my student, my closest domestic Eliezer. Chazal say everything that he learned, the word domestic means Damascus, but the pun on the word is that everything that he shadol miraboy moshach lacherem, he learned from Avraham Avinu, and he carried this message all around. He was an ambassador. Like, we have to stop thinking of him as a slave. He was an ambassador of Avraham Avinu. He was the number one ambassador, and Avraham Avinu loved him. And he certainly loved Avraham Avinu, and he trusted him. He did everything with him. And Avraham Avinu wanted to know, who's going to carry on the line? Is it going to be Eliezer Eved Avraham, who's my chief disciple, my chief ambassador? Or is it going to be somebody that I'm going to give birth to that we don't even know yet? Is it going to be a Yitzchak? Do you understand this? This is the question of the Chumash. This is the question of Avraham Avinu. I just decided to just say it. That's what it is. It's the question. The question of the it's such a stressful question when you think about it. It's madhim that the question that Avraham Avinu had is, who's going to inherit the land? Who's going to take over? It could so easily be Eliezer. Eliezer ran this whole war. Eliezer is the one who captured Eretz Yisrael. Eliezer believes in me, and he believes in you, said Hashem. So maybe it's Eliezer. And this brought a certain fear onto Avraham Avinu. So right after the War of the Kings, what's the first thing that we learn? Al tira avdi Avram. Don't worry. What was he worried about? Eliezer has become the prime minister. Eliezer has become the... So he's going to be Ben Meshek Basi, but Anoichi Hoylech Hariri. This bothered him, that Anoichi Hoylech Hariri. But it's not coming from me. To which Hashem told him, no. He's not... Hu lo yirashecha. He's not going to inherit you. Ela asher yatsa me'echa. Hu yirashecha. The one who comes from you is the one who's going to... Just what's over here?
Is there a reason why he gets a title of Eved, which actually makes him sound like really a very low...
Right, and to add on to your question, not only does he get a title of Eved, but that's the only... We don't even know his name, except for in this one pasuk, he's only Eved. And this is... I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what I think. I think that because of his greatness, because of who he was, it had to become very clear, not only in the Chumash, but in the public relations of Eliezer, Eved Avraham Anochi, that I'm the Eved Avraham. I want to show you more about this, so hold on to that question. It's a very good question.
I just want to say, in the beginning of this year, we said that when Hashem said, don't be afraid, he said, you won't be punished for having killed so many people. So now we're like kind of changing the Perush.
Absolutely. I'm going with the Perush of the Gemara.
And also, can I ask the Rav just to repeat the Rosh Tevot, the acronym that the Rav gave for Damasek?
Dal Umashach. He Dal means like he took the water out the well. Umashach. Mashach, like a Manal Meshach. Like Mashach, he was a supplier.
Meshach.
Dal Umashach. Dal Umashach. Those are the big words.
Dal Umashach. Isn't that also
The Gemara says, I'm not sure, the Gemara says that there's a tzedek called Damesek, that Jupiter is called Damesek when it makes a certain rotation every 12 years. That's all I know about. Don't know anything more about it. But the answer is yes. But I'm not sure if it's exactly an astrological sign or it's the house of Jupiter, which had to do with Eliezer. What I want everyone to walk out with tonight, like last week, we learned to like Lot. I want to learn to like Eliezer. Lot, Rashi's not nice to Lot. I was nice to Lot. But Eliezer, Rashi likes Eliezer. Every time we can say something good about Eliezer, we say something good about Eliezer. But here's the point. I'm trying not to mix myself up. Here's the point, that if Eliezer Eved Avram was the alternative to Yitzchak, that's what you see in this pasuk that we read very quickly. He was the alternative to Yitzchak. It's either Yitzchak, which was an unknown, wasn't born yet, it wasn't even, two very old people, that even in biblical times it was considered miraculous, right? Sarah laughed. Yitzchak, Sarah laughed. It's ridiculous. A woman was. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but a woman was just telling me she had a whole shiloh of something. So she said she had to take a certain medical test. So when she went to the doctor, the nurse asked her. She's 84. This one. So the nurse said to her, "Are you pregnant?" "Now I'll take this X-ray, this particular thing, X-ray." So she started to laugh. She started to laugh. So like it clicked in my mind. Okay, that's pretty funny. Like my age, it was Sarah Bain. I mean, it sounds almost silly. So even in the times of the Chumash, this was a huge miracle. So is it going to be Eliezer? Is it going to be Yitzchak? Now let's add on to this. For a second. Eliezer wanted to be the Yitzchak. It didn't work out for him. Why? Because Hashem said, Yitzchak is going to be born. Eliezer says, aha, I have a second chance. What's the second chance? I have a daughter. Let my daughter marry Yitzchak. Very simple. Let my daughter marry Yitzchak, and again, now we've got everything. Avraham Avinu has Yitzchak. Yitzchak has a son-in-law, Eliezer. So you can't beat him. Join him. I can't be your son because you had a son, but I can be your son-in-law, which is possibly just as good. And you've got not your son-in-law, your mechuzen. I could be your mechutin, but my daughter will be the one who will be yoresh you. And to this, Avraham Avinu said once again. The first time he says, "I'm noichi holeich hariri. I'm not maskim that you should be the one who's yoresh me." And when it came to the shidduch later on, two parshas later, he says, "I'm not maskim that you should be the one that your daughter should marry my son, because ain oror davek baruch." So what you have here is a double try, if you will, with Eliezer trying so hard to get into this family here. And then by the Akedah, let's just talk about the Akedah for a minute. Somebody mentioned, very important. At the end of Vayera, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak's now 36, 37 years old. It says to Avraham Avinu, "Kachas bincha, yechidcha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak." Very clear. Take Yitzchak, bring him to the Akedah. Avraham Avinu seems to still be nervous, so he takes with him two na'arim, Rashi tells us, as you said. Eliezer went with him everywhere, and his other son Yishmael. Let's go. We're going to do an Akedah. They went to Har Moriah. Comes the Gemara and says that as they approached, he didn't know exactly where he was going, right? Lech lecha al Eretz HaMaria. He didn't know exactly where he's going, but when he came to the Eretz HaMaria, which is near in the area of Beit El, when he comes to Eretz HaMaria, he sees he sees the unkosher Al-Hahar, Rashi says. Avraham Avinu knows it's the place because he sees the unknown. It was like Yerushalayim. In fact, Rashi says it was Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim bounced here for these few hours. Yerushalayim actually moved here because Yerushalayim expanded. He sees unknown Kasher Al-Hahar. So it looked like maybe a little bit like Har Sinai. It looked like the Har Abayis. But he saw the Shekhinah on the mountain. So it says the Gemara that Avraham Avinu, he's here with three people. He's here with Yitzchak, he's here with Yishmael, he's here with Eliezer. He says to, does anybody see what I see? Do you see what I see? And Eliezer says, I don't see it. I don't see anything, just a mountain. And Yishmael says, I don't see anything. And Yitzchak says, what don't you see? There's a the Shekhinah. There's the cloud of Hashem. Kasher ha'anam, kasher ha'har. Comes Avraham Avinu and he says to the Vayomer al shtei na'ara v'asher itai shvu lachem poi ima chamor, you stay here with the chamor, kemosha chamor enoi roya gam atem enom royim. That's the lashon he said, sharp. Just like the chamor doesn't see, you don't see either. V'ani v'hanar in me and Yitzchak, we're going. Meaning, even though Hashem said to him that Yitzchak is the korban of the Akedah, he had a suffolk that maybe it should be, he still had a question, maybe it should be my son Ishmael, and maybe it should be Eliezer, and that's why Hashem actually told him at the beginning, Tachas bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak, because a lot of these categories, the Gemara says, could have fit everybody until you get to the word of Yitzchak. He needed his own confirmation that Yitzchak's going up to this mountain with me, not Eliezer, and not Yishmael. Two people that wanted to be the Yoresh of Avram. Yishmael ad hayom hazeh. Yeah. Till today. They feel that they're why Yitzchak? Why not Yishmael? So until today, Yishmael is busy trying to be the son of Avram and trying to do the tikkun that we're supposed to do. Who's going to do this tikkun? Here's the interesting thing, that Avraham Avinu, on the one hand, knew that he's going up to this mountain to what he thought was to kill his son. At the same time, this is like a dichotomy, at the same time he knew that the one that he has to take up to this mountain was the one who was going to be his progeny, the one who was going to be the one that was taking over and continuing. So, you know, he's carrying two things here. But even as he's walking to the Akedah, he's thinking to himself, maybe Eliezer. So Eliezer again becomes extremely prominent in the life of the son of Nimrod, this Melech. So let me show you something about...
But when Hashem said,
Kach es bimcha, es Yitzchak,
was it before he set out with the two?
No, that's when he told them to set out. But he didn't tell them what to do. Who to shecht? Just take Yitzchak v'haleyu.
Hashem said that pasuk. Then he set out with them, and he still tested the waters to see. Hashem said Yitzchak, he still needed to test the waters.
Well, we see this over and over again with Avraham Avinu. That's what I said to you. He said three times you're going to have children. But he says, Anoichi Holech Hariri, on the fourth time. See, there's so much to say here, and I'm going back and forth, but I'm sure you're all...
Are we trying to say that Yitzchak had a little problem with them or not?
No, I'm trying to say this. Right now, this is what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that when Hashem promised, all the three promises that Hashem made to Avraham, that he's going to have children, and he's going to have the land, they all could have been interpreted, that's all I'm saying, as Eliezer. And that's why, it's not that he didn't believe Hashem. It's that this was the first time that Hashem told him that it's going to come from you. He didn't say that. He said, Zaracha. Zaracha, and this I'll get back to the Akedah in a second, Zaracha, your children, could mean your philosophical children. And Eliezer saw himself in this position as an extremely qualified tikkun, as he was from Canaan, and Avraham Avinu was insisting, no, you're an Arur. I love you, you're a wonderful person, you're a great ambassador, you're a great army person, everything is wonderful, you take all my teachings, you teach them to everybody else, but you are from Canaan. Since you're from Canaan, you can't be my progenitor. Is that the right word? My, pronouncing it is a different story, but have I got the right word? It's significant. It's significant, I think. Maybe this is just my drush. But when Hashem promised him children earlier, he said that your children should be kafir ha'aretz. They'll be like the dust of the land. When he told them that it's going to come from you, he says they're going to be like the stars in the sky. It's a different kind of a bracha. Afar aretz, like the dust of the land, means they're everywhere. That's one possibility. Afar aretz, they're just like everywhere. They're and the other one is kikoch v'yashamayim. I'm just which is better? Stars sound much more romantic, yeah. Yeah, they're also out of reach. Reach for a star, but you're never going to get it. The stars are the symbol of that which is out of reach. Here's another argument for Eliezer, Eved Avram. I'm of the earth. I'm down to earth. Hashem said Kafir Haaretz. He said that your children are going to be Kafir Haaretz. Kafir Haaretz means that not just that there's a lot of it. It's not just numbers. But Kafir Haaretz means that, like from a Kabbalistic point of view, it's Isarusa de la Sata, and stars are Isarusa de la Ela. From that point of view, stars. Okay, what do we get from stars? I mean, they're up there. They're pretty. Maybe they even have some. So the first bracha could be, Eliezer said, maybe I could fit into this bracha. Ka'afar ha'aretz. More so than somebody like Yitzhak, who's so esoteric and so ethereal. And like, I'm mamish, what you're looking for in terms of tikkun olam. I'm the man. That's what Eliezer said. Let me just show you something interesting. Let's move ahead to Perek Chaf Dalet, where we learn about the Shidduch. It's another interesting point. I have to wind down, and I'm just getting started. There's something interesting. Perek Chaf Dalet is the Perek of the Shidduch. Va'avraham zaken ba ba'yamim ba'ashem berech es Avram bako. Avram Avinu was old. He had everything. Vayomer Avraham el Avdo, which of course was Eliezer Eved Avram, Zakan Beisoy, who was, here's a new title, El Avdo Eliezer Zakan Beisoy. Not because he was Zaken, say Chazal, but because he was Ein Zaken El Amisha Kanachachma. He was a brilliant ambassador of Avram Avinu. So he says to Avdo, again, he wasn't pouring coffee. Hamoshel, look at the pasuk here, this description of Eliezer. Hamoshel b'chol asherlo. He took care of everything for Avram Avinu. This Eliezer took care of everything. He calls him over and he says to him, Simno yodcha tachas yirefi. You're going to have to swear to me right now. V'ashbiacho b'ashem l'keya shemayim v'l'keya aretz. You're going to have to swear to me right now in the name of Hashem, who's Elokei Hashemayim and Elokei Haaretz, which both of them believed in very, very strongly. Lo tikach isho livni mipnos ha-kenani. I don't want you to take a girl from the Kenanim. Who was that? Him. He was the Bnos ha-kenani, his daughter. Asher anoichi yoshe b'kirbo. Ki al artsi v'malalati tela. Go back to Haran. Go back to Mesopotamia. Over there, you'll go back to my father, to my family. And that's where you take the shidduch from. Now, and then he says, here's your pasuk. V'yomer elav ha'eved. So the eved says to him, Ulai lo sove ha'isha lalechas acharai. Hello, Eretz, what if she doesn't want to come back to Eretz Yisrael? If she lives there, she doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Common. Ha'hoshiv ha'oshiv es bincha lo'aretz asher yitzasem isham. V'yomer la'el. So should I just... What do I do then? Vayomer elav Avraham, Yishamer l'cha pen tashiv es b'nei shamim. Do not leave my son there. That's not your instructions. Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Hashem Asher Lokachani Mi Beis Avi, that took me all the way from Beis Avi, which was where Ur Kasdim, and then from Ur Kasdim to Haran, and then from Haran to Eretz Yisrael. That same Malach will bring my son back here also. That's what he tells him. Asher Lokachani Beis Avi Mi Eretz Malati Vasher Diberli Vasher Nishbali Lemar Lazaracha. He who promised me, he says to Eliezer, that this land is going to go to your children, you're going to bring him back. What was Eliezer thinking? I'll keep him there. I'll come back. You still have me. Bring my son back. Because he said, Lazarecha. And now he has a definition of it means Mimayech Yeseyu. Someone is going to come from you biologically. Who yishlach malocha lefanecha v'lakafta ishi isha livni misham. I just want to point out that Eliezer is never called by his name. He's either called in this parasha Chayisara, either he's called Eved Avram or he's called an ish. Ha ish. If you look through the Chumash over and over again, he's referred to as ha ish because he was such a chashuv person. I mean, if you imagine that he came into the house of Besuel, and he's looking for a shidduch. This was like, you know, like the president of the United States. More chashuv. This is that's also b'nei chum. It's like the president of the United States. He came not just bearing gifts. So we're thinking of him as some like Arab slave coming in with a bunch of camels. This was a very chashuv person. And Rashi says that immediately they saw him and they were like taken, whoa, this is like something very special. He's coming and he's looking for Rivka, right? He's an ish. So she calls him just look at the psukim here for a moment. Take a look at Chaf Dalid. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, or earlier Chaf Chaf. Vatemaher Vatan Kado, he sees Rivka by the well. We all know the story. Alashokas Vataritz Oda Laber Lishov. She's running, she's doing Chesed. Vatisha Luchobal. Vahish Mishtoiloi. Vahish Mishtoiloi. The translation is the man was astonished. The man. He switched into the man. And if you look through the Psukim, all through this story, he's called, they called him, when she went, she told her father about him, she said, there's a man here. Is it like Ha'ish, this Ish is here. Ish is like Ha'ish Moshe, Godel Ma'od, Baritz Mitzrayim. Ish means Ishiut. Ish means a very, very important person. And she told them about the Ish. They went to the Ish, back to the Ish. Just read the Psukim, we don't have time. At the end, when he finally meets, let's see, where's the Pasuk here? Pasuk Lamed Dalad. He meets the family Lamed Beis. Vayavo ha'ish habaisa. Vayifatach ha'gemalim. Vayitim teven u'mispoil u'gemalim. They take care of him. They bring him into the house. Ma'im lirchach ragel raglei ha'anoshim asherita. Vayasam l'fon of lechol. They gave him food. Vayomer lo yoichal adim dibarti dvar. Vayomer daber. He says, no, I'm not eating. So they treated him like a prince because he was an ish. An ish is a type of a prince, and they treat him with trauma. Why? So just let's stop here for a second. Why? This was Og Melech HaBashan. This was the son of Nimrod. This was the ambassador of Avram Avinu. This was a very chashuv person, ish. What does he say? I have to say my piece, he says. Vayomer, and he says in Pasuk Lamed Dalad, let's get one thing straight. Eved Avraham Anochi. That's his statement. Stop calling me Ish. Stop Ishing me. I'm a very chashuv person. I'm a very wealthy person. I won wars. I'm a famous person. You read about me in the newspaper. I just want you to know one thing. What my title in life is Eved Avram Anochi. So you ask, why lower him to an Eved? He himself was trying to bring out this point. This is his opening statement. With the shidduch, you have to understand that in this case, I didn't make it. If this shidduch is the right shidduch, then I'm just the Eved. I could have become the prince. I could have become the heir of Avramavinu. And I thought maybe my daughter can marry you. So all this is not working out. Eved Avram Anoichi. So this is Eliezer. Now I just want to say this, and I hope to pick up next week. Eliezer has a whole story here. Avram Avinu does not want Eliezer. I believe what we will learn is that Eliezer does not get lost in history. This is where I want to go. As does Lot. Last week we learned that Lot was in Sodom, and from Lot, as everybody knows, came out David HaMelech. Clear. Lot had two daughters. His two daughters had Ammon and Moab. From Ammon and Moab came Rus and Naomi. From Rus and Naomi came David HaMelech. From David HaMelech comes the Mashiach. Eliezer has a similar line, which I want to learn, but I don't want to do it fast. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, Eliezer, we said, where the Torah says in Lech Lecha, take that Avraham Avinu took his 318 chanichav. So the Gemara says he only took one, really, just Eliezer, because his name is Gematria 318. So here, let's work on this. Eliezer is 318, and Lot is 45. So you take 318 and 45, what do you get? Quick. 363, I have it written down. 363 is HaMoshiach. Yeah. 363, it's the combination of, and this was Avraham's battle. The combination, I need Lot, but I'm pushing Lot to stone. I need Eliezer, but I'm not letting Eliezer come into my family. But the two of them together, Ammon, Moab, Stone, is going to equal HaMashiach. 363, it's clear. This is the Zohar, by the way. Not by Gematria, I'm not the mathematical genius. Mefurish the Zohar, that Eliezer and Lot together are Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Because Eliezer, which is what I want to go over with you, Eliezer ends up being the spiritual and possible even genetical father of Yosef's children, because if what we're going to do is we're going to trace, to spill the beans here, the Ashes Yosef was who? Potiphar. Potiphar was a clear nechda of Eliezer, Eben Avraham. And there's two levels of Mashiach. There's a Mashiach which comes from Yosef, and there's a Mashiach that comes from David HaMelech, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. It's Eliezer and Lot, that's the whole thing. And Avraham Avinu is, that's us, Avraham Avinu is us, are almost on the side. Ben Gavin, the Kupa Shel Shratzim. It's so interesting that, it's just so interesting that the whole, you see, because the whole tikkun, as you say, has to come from taking Canaan and be misakin it, like Shimon Peres said. It all has to come through it, but not yet. Avraham Avinu says yes, but not yet. It's going to come from Eliezer, and it's going to come from Lot, but in the meantime, they need to be pushed away. It's not time yet. So from the beginnings, as the Shiur of our call, we're going to see the ends very, very clearly as to how everything is going to come. But now we've discovered Lot, and we've discovered Eliezer, and we know together they're HaMashiach, so now we have to discover how that's going to work. Thank you very much.